we bless you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather back together to worship, to praise, to bless you with everything that is within our hearts. For Father, we say it over and over again, but surely you are worthy. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the creator of everything that we see and everything that we are. And bringing forth your people into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We just praise you and worship you this morning. Amen. This week I read a verse of scripture in Colossians, actually 2, 3, 9, and 10. And verse 9 says, "Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old unregenerated self with its evil practice, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that have created it, created him." The Amplified reads that, "And have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image and the likeness of him who created it." The word there, renew, is to cause to grow or to make new. And the word knowledge is precise and correct knowledge. And as I was thinking on these scriptures, Colossians 3, 9 and 10, the Lord brought a word to my mind which I have never used that much and didn't expect to use that much. And the word was illusion. So I went to Webster's and looked up the word illusion. And the next definition is a false idea or conception, belief or opinion not in accord with the facts, an unreal, deceptive, or misleading appearance or image, a false perception or conception or interpretation of what one sees, the misleading image resulting in a false impression, such as hallucination. And I got to thinking about this. You know, we've talked about before in Genesis 1 and verse 7, 27, where it says, "So God created man in his image. In the image of God created him, male and female created him them." And the word created is to shape, to form, to cut down, or to cut out. And the fact is that God is not flesh and blood. And we'll readily say these things, that God's not flesh and God is a spirit. And yet, we can read this, that God was created in the image, in his, made man is his own image. And yet the perception of most individuals is that we must do, as we were sitting around yesterday talking with some people, with some cousins of mine, they were talking about the things that they were doing in the church. And the things that, you know, what was going on. And how you base the spirituality of a church is it growing? You know, are you doing things? But yet when it comes down to the very essence of what God has taught us, is that they that worship Him in spirit and in truth. To that we live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. You know, nowhere does he tell us that these things are based on our relationship with him is based on what we do. It's based on what we be in relationship to Him. And talking about illusion, man has a false idea or conception or perception of God. You know, on one hand, they'll say, God is sovereign, and they'll agree with you. Yes, He is sovereign. And turn right around and say, but He's not able to save all. You know? He's all powerful, but He's limited. How can you have a God and be true to what His identity is when you believe one thing and then say another? You know? And they'll turn around and say, yes, you know, we are a spirit. But how do we please God? We please God by going to church, by not doing these things that we think that are our sin. That's the way, but that is a false precept. And then they'll agree with you. Jesus Christ paid the price for the sins of the whole world. Amen. They'll agree with you 100%. But then turn right around and say, but man has a choice of whether he comes to God or not. And you say, but the Bible says, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will drag all men unto me. That no man cometh unto the Father except the Father draw or drag him. And they'll agree with you and say, yeah, but, you know, we're having a revival. If you don't come to God now, you know, but God's not calling. You can't come just whenever you want to. And you know, they'll say, yes, but God created hell for the sinner. You know, only a handful out of all of the billions of people that have been created on this earth are going to go to be with God for eternity. He paid the price for all creation, but yet most of His creation He's not able to save or doesn't have the power to. And they're going to spend eternity in hell. False precepts. They're living a life out of illusion. And I know that people carry that a little bit further. The reality of our life is not physical. It's real. I mean, I can touch you. I can see you. But what I touch and what I see, Paul says, is passing with the using. Dust to dust. It's returning back to where it came from. But the Spirit came from God and is returning to God. And here in Colossians, he says that we're not to lie to one another. For you have stripped off the old, unregenerated self with its evil practice. You know, past. It's done. Why do we revisit the past all the time? People say, I'm saved. And then the next Sunday morning, they're back up at the altar rededicating their life. No man can pluck you out of the hand of God. And he says, and have put on or clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image, the likeness of Him who created it. You know, I honestly believe that the vision that we have seen, or the revelation or the unveiling of God's truth that He has placed within us, concerning the manifestation of the sons of God, that our Father, and I believe this with all my heart, and I believe each one of us do, is in the preparation stages of preparing to unveil that people. I mean, He is teaching us that, and He is speaking it often, that we are spiritual beings. The reality of who we are is that we are a spirit. The illusion is that I am a spirit being having a, I mean, I'm a human having a spirit relationship. But the fact of it is that I am a spirit having a human experience. First and foremost, I am a spirit. I came out from God. God took of himself in the creation and created the spirit that I am. And then he breathed into that that he formed, and that that he formed became a living soul. And the reality is that God is saying, listen, I'm not looking at that outward now. I'm looking at that which I am forming and creating within you. The renewal of your mind, the transformation of your thinking pattern, of the way that you are thinking and things that's going on within you. God's forming in us. And in 2 Corinthians 13, Paul begins to talk about Moses and how that in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 13, that which Moses put a veil over his face that the children of Israel could not steadfast look to the end of that which is abolished. You know, we say, well, that's Moses. That was that day. But we are God's spiritual heirs. In 14 it says, their minds were blinded until this day there remaineth a veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away with in Christ. You see, the veil that was placed upon their eyes still remains. And we say, oh, that was Israel. No, the veil is still upon the eyes of the church today. They're still living in a natural realm. They're still working in a natural realm. My cousin told me yesterday, said their church in Memphis, Tennessee, that she travels, goes to, has several thousand people. And they're growing. And how are they growing? Church just down the road is having problems. And so a lot of their members are leaving. She said, they're not being saved, but they're these Christians that are just coming to our church. They're changing churches. And our church is growing. Well, you know, that's all well and good because that's where they're at and that's where God's got them. But I'm telling you, there is a people in the earth today that are looking, that are seeing a revelation of God's word in the midst of them. In verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 13, it says, but upon even until this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. The veil is a covering, and the heart in the Greek, listen to what the definition of the word heart there is, the center seat of spiritual life, the soul, the mind, as it is the foundation and seat of the thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affection, purposes, and endeavor. That which is between the two ears. The veil, the covering, is still upon their heart. They're still believing a false idea or perception of God. They're still believing a misleading appearance or image. And that is the same as a hallucination. They're not seeing the reality of who their God is. In the Old Testament, God said to Israel, he said, you have limited the Holy One of Israel. In other words, you put me in a box, and that's all I can do is what you say. But we've taken God out of that box. God, you're able to do whatever you want today. And in verse 16 it says, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And the word turn there is to turn to or to return or to turn back or to come back to. And what does that tell you? You can't come back to something that you haven't been to before. You can't return to something that you haven't been to. But returning back to God is simply returning back to Him who we came out from. And allowing Him to do that work that was within that is within us. You know, the illusion is that people have a false perception of God. They have laid at God's door false concepts, false accusations, and if you tell them that, they would be totally upset because they cannot see it. The veil or the covering is still there, but when that veil is taken away, that veil is removed, they can see Him as He is. And in verse 18, which is a very most people know what that or have read it in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And all of us, because we can, all of us, as with unveiled face, the veil taken away, because we can to continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are constantly being transformed into the very image in ever increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. See, we're ever being changed from one consciousness to a higher consciousness, from one glory to another glory. And when I read that verse in Colossians 3 that we started with the first time, an old course that we used to sing years ago came to my mind, which I hadn't thought of in years, and I had to look up the words to it. But it simply says, from the dust of the earth, my God created man. His breath made man a living soul. And God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. And that's why I love Him so. My hands were made to help my neighbor. My eyes were made to read God's Word. My feet were made to walk in His footsteps. My body is the temple of the Lord. I was made in His likeness, created in His image, for I was born to serve the Lord. I will not deny Him. I will always walk beside Him, for I was born to serve the Lord. God created man in His image and in His likeness. And man's destiny, even before the foundation of the world, was that we come out from God, we're processed through God, and we return to God. That all creation is going to return back into God. But man, along the road, came up with his own illusions of God, his own misconception and false ideas and false perception. And man's desire was to bring God down to where He was. Many of them created statues of God, something they could touch and feel. And then those who came out from a lot of that created idols of their churches and their things that they worship. But God is a spirit. He said, you shall have no other gods before me. You are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Allowing His word, His creation, His unveiling to be a part of our lives that will change us. We behold Him. And as we behold Him and see Him as He is, take away all the false ideas, all the false pretense. That's what God's been stripping off of us. And some of us have more religious baggage to strip away than others have because of where we came from and where we came through. But that was God's will. That was God's purpose for our life. That all of this happened, but God's stripping it all away, and we are standing before Him, realizing that there is nothing in this world that we can do to please Him, but to obey His word that He speaks within us. In 1 Corinthians 15:47, it says, the first man is from the earth, earthy, but the second man is the Lord from heaven. As the earthly, as is this earthly, such also are they that are heaven. Such is the earthly, are they also that are earthly, and such is the heavenly, are they that are heavenly. And we have borne the image of the earthly, and we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. See, we have borne the image of the earthly, and we are going to bear the image of the heavenly. Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the work that He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh. Now, how many times years ago in church people say, well, you know, it's time to get out of the flesh and get in the spirit. You're not in the flesh. You're in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And in the Amplified says, but you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit. That's past tense. It's not something that He didn't say you will be. He says you are. See, the illusion is that we put everything into the future with God. And everything is going to happen out yonder somewhere. But God says, look, now, I'm changing you. You have walked in this natural realm, but you're not in the flesh. You're in the spirit, and He dwells in you and directs you and controls you. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of resurrection. And then, very familiar verse, but if the spirit of Him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. And one last verse in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which both worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Listen to that and amplify. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively working in you, energizing, creating in you the power and desire, both the will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Now, how plain can God get? not in your own strength. For it's God who's all the time effectually at work in you, energizing and creating you the power and the desire. The desire. Both to will and to work for His good pleasure. It's not of us. It's of God. And, you know, we are His children. And we've said it over and over again. But it is God that is bringing forth the people in this hour to be unveiled in the earth to set creation free. And in this hour that we are dwelling in, God is turning our attention and pointing out to us the reality of who we are, that you are a spiritual being. Jesus said, Father, don't take them out of the world, but keep them. You know, don't take them out. He's not taking us out, but He is changing our understanding of who we are. And I submit this morning that when God finishes that work in us and causes us that veil to be completely removed from our eyes, that we see the reality of our spiritual being, of who we really are in Him, that in that hour, this body is going to be changed. This body is going to put immortality and incorruption. Nothing can stop it when you see who you are. When you see the reality of who you are. Even though we're living in this flesh and blood body, as we see the reality that we are a spirit people. And that our spirit is that came out from God, that God took of Himself and created that spirit that we are. Then nothing can stop the transformation. Nothing can stop the unveiling, because the reality of the Word and the truth of God's Word that He has for us and in us will bring about that change. Nothing can stop that change, because you see exactly who you are. And you know, that's what God is saying. Listen to what I'm saying about you today. Listen to what I'm saying about who you are. The reality of who you are. The reality of what I see. Because He sees you as a finished, complete individual. In fact, I think it was Paul that said, we are complete in Him. Not will be someday, but are. And the reality is that that completeness is being made manifest in this hour. That God is telling us over and over again, look, the work in you is finished. And as we are believing into that, you know, man wants to believe the worst of things. We want to see the possibility of something that's going to happen and worry about it, even though it may never happen. And 99% of the time, it doesn't happen the way we worry about it. But you know, the reality is that God has predestined and proposed for our lives. And the Word says that He that began a good work in us is going to bring that work to completion. In other words, He that has called us to manifestation and unveiling is going to complete that work and unveil that Son in the earth in this day to bring forth the redemption, to set creation free in the glorious liberty of God, to unveil a people that will speak as God in the earth. That's what Jesus did. Jesus spoke as the Father in the earth. He spoke into creation words of change, words that was absolutely contrary to what they believe. You know, your law says an eye for an eye. My law says love your enemies. Do good to them that persecute you. You know, your law says if they ask you to go a mile, I say, go 2 miles. If they ask for your coat, give them your coat also. You know, his word was totally different than what the law of Moses was. Because that law was coming to completion. And Jesus was unveiling a new way through his flesh into the Holy of Holies. And unveiling that man could return to the Father from which he came. And it seems that God is just having a unveiling of revelation, a manifold unveiling in this hour that is calling us to our spiritual roots, to the idea that we are a spirit, that we are complete in Him, to see Him as He is, to do away with all the illusions of God, and let God be God in this hour, who He is and who He has created us to be. To walk away from all the false goods that man has ever put forth, and walk into the reality of what God is saying in us in this hour. For He's an awesome God, and we love Him so. Amen.